Welcome to Feral and Fabulous. We have another amazing guest here today. It is the most fabulous Amanda Lopez that I have known for several years now. And she is so many things. She is a fantastic medical professional. She is a TikToker. And one of the most fun things is she is my partner in crime. And so I can't wait to dive into this stuff. And I have so many topics that I don't even know where I'm going to start.
It's going to be wild and crazy.
It is going to be wild. And it always is whenever always we get together. It never fails. Something fun and crazy always happens when we get together. Anyway, well, what I will do is I'll kind of start on, we first met when I started going to Huebner Family Medicine and didn't know you from before. And this was pre-COVID.
Right.
So I don't remember exactly when, but I just know it was pre-COVID that I started going there. And you were always just so kind, so professional. And of course, I love Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank is the doctor at Huebner Family Medicine that I see. But you were just so on the spot. And just one of the things I really appreciated before I really knew who you were was just your knowledge and your just get it done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, and of course, I was new to the practice. I really didn't know what was going on. And I just was like, oh, I just immediately kind of realized that I could call Amanda for pretty much whatever I needed. And it was like, wow, this is kind of an amazing thing. So I really love that. And of course, when we first met, this is pre-COVID. We didn't even know COVID existed at that time.
Right.
But then shortly, it wasn't too long after I had been going there that we had the whole shutdown thing.
Right.
And so, and again, I knew
which
you.
Was scary times.
It was super scary.
Super scary.
It was super scary. And I feel like in many ways, you and I kind of, during that process, I kind of trauma bonded with you because I did know you. I mean, I certainly had been there a few times. So we had talked and we
interacted
had,
and
absolutely had great conversations and you were so helpful. And so I already knew I liked you, but I feel like when COVID happened, it really kind of changed everything. And I do feel like it was kind of like we were in the trenches, everybody, and I can't even imagine what it was like for you guys. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I mean, obviously, I know you've been, well, gosh, how long have you even been working there?
I've been working at Huebner Family Medicine for 15 years. I just hit 15 years with Dr. Frank.
Oh my gosh, so, I can't believe
it's gone by so fast.
Man, that is crazy.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. And you guys, you know what? That's one of the things that I do love about you guys is that even though it's medicine, you guys make it fun. And who would have thought that, you know, a family practice would be so fun?
But we do. We try to make it fun every day. We try to go on with positive attitudes. You know, for people's birthdays, I decorate our kitchen entirely for their birthdays. For holidays, I decorate, you know, around the office. And
why does that not surprise me?
I'm the office decorator.
I love that. I love that. And I think I could have predicted that, even though I didn't know that you did that, because again, everything about the experience that I had there was just so fun. But tell me a little bit about, you know, going back to when COVID first hit, and they shut down everything, and we didn't know anything at that time, and it was just this scary thing. And what was it like, you know, being behind the scenes? Because how did you guys handle things in the very beginning?
So at the very beginning, you know, we just heard, you know, it's an illness. It could be bad, but, you know, it's going to only be a couple weeks and we're going to get through this. It's not anything major. We need to have an office meeting because we need to figure out what we're doing and where we're going with this. And, you know, what's going to be our protocol and what do we even do? Because we've never been through such a thing before of a shutdown and an unknown illness.
Did you really think it was going to only be a couple of weeks initially?
Truthfully, I didn't, but other people were saying it's just going to be a couple of weeks. It's, you know, it's not that serious of a virus. Y'all just need to calm down. You know, it's not that bad. Coronavirus has been around for a long time. Look, it's even on the Lysol bottles. You know, so it's always been around.
Yes.
But this was a tweaked, you know, coronavirus.
Exactly. At what point kind of into 2020, I think they shut us down, in March or something mm-hmm. like
yes.
that? At what point do you think you guys realized, oh my gosh, this is kind of a serious deal, or this is something more than what we'd originally thought it might be?
Probably around end of March, April, going into April, May.
Okay.
You started hearing of more people passing.
Right.
We didn't have any tests.
Right.
We didn't know where to go get tests. Who had the test? So it was the, you know, phone calls and stuff on who could we find to test people and how do we test people? We don't even know what we're doing with
right.
the things.
Right.
And we're not going to let, you know, we can't let them in. So right. we got to go then gown up and we got to go outside and they're going to stay in their cars. Like, you know, we had to come up with the whole protocol.
No, I do remember that. And I remember actually it just so happened to coincide in June of 2020, the Parade of Homes was supposed to take place previous. I don't know, Matt, when was it originally scheduled for? I know it was earlier in the year. I don't remember the original date. Do you remember?
I want to say it. Usually is like March, April, May, somewhere there.
Somewhere in that range it was supposed to be originally. And then they ended up, you know, they bumped it and then they bumped it again, I think.
Right.
And I think they ended up having it the last week of June in 2020. And so by then, of course, they said, hey, you know, people were starting to wear masks. Or
right.
They were telling people you should wear a mask.
Yeah.
But when we were there, actually, I was working at the Parade of Homes and McNair Custom Homes had a property in that particular parade. And so several of us were working out there. And of course, with Parade of Homes, you've got all kinds of people
yeah.
coming through
right.
looking at the homes. And so definitely, of course, it started out on a Saturday. And of course, I didn't go the first couple of days because I actually had a commitment, so I couldn't be out there. But by the time I was actually out there on Monday, I think people had already been exposed.
Right.
And so we were around each other. And so by the end of the week of, they actually ended up canceling the rest of the parade because everybody at the Parade of Homes got so, I mean, literally we were dropping like flies. And so I was diagnosed sick by Friday. And I remember contacting you and you're like, come in. And I think I drove up in my car and I think you guys came out to the car in hazmat suits. I mean, it was like literally, and you would have like the swab, you know.
We had our whole protection gear on.
Right. I mean, it was just such a surreal time.
Face mask.
Everything.
Eye mask.
Yes.
Gowned up, gloved up, everything you can think of, because we're thinking we're going to be exposed to an illness and we could get it and we could pass away.
Yeah.
And this is part of our calling and part of our job and we have to be okay with it.
Yeah, no.
And we can't bail out. We cannot bail out on our team.
No. No, absolutely. And so I felt like you guys were very solidified on it, but it was crazy because I tested positive and I think I was one of the first patients the practice to test positive. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, of course.
Leave it to you, Kim, to get it. You know?
Of course. And I even got the rap of being like patient zero at the, person zero, typhoid Mary, if you will, at the parade. But as it turns out, I actually didn't even attend it initially. So I got it from some other people mm-hmm. that had been there before me. But at that time, it was just, like I said, so crazy. And the treatments were just so different because they didn't really know how to treat it.
We had no protocol. It was unknown territory. And Dr. Frank was busy researching everything he could to treat this, you know, what would work best for it.
Yeah.
We also came up with that we needed a COVID room in our office.
Yeah.
And so we cleared out the first room by the back door. We would let patients
in that back room door
and we would close them up like COVID room.
Yes, I remember. I spent time in that room.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, you probably do, but during the time, right after I was diagnosed as positive, of course, my husband, Dave, he got it from me. And so he tested positive just a few days later, like 2 or 3 days later. And so of course Dave has got COPD from, you know, years in the military. He wasn't a smoker, but he was over in
exposed,
deployed. He was deployed in Iraq and
the oil
fires and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so he deals with COPD from that. And I didn't realize at the time, I mean, I got through it okay, but I could tell he was getting sicker and sicker.
Right.
And I remember that you guys, I can't remember where you were, but I think Dr. Frank, it was July 4th weekend mm-hmm. or, you know, whenever that celebration was. And he came in from out of town. He had gone somewhere. I can't remember where you were, but I think you were in town, but you came to the office with Dr. Frank and he came in from wherever he was celebrating. I don't know. But y'all came in and treated Dave and they did an ozone treatment on Dave. And literally, I feel like it was just, I know that Dr. Frank used to have a radio show, I think, called Cutting Edge Medicine. Mm-hmm. And I truly felt like it was literally the cutting edge of what was available at the time.
Right.
And I truly feel like it saved Dave's life. So, I mean, sure. I have been so grateful ever since. And I think that during that whole process in 2020, I really kind of like bonded with you and
right.
spent time that I normally probably wouldn't have, you know,
just on a normal basis,
on a normal basis
yeah.
right?
Right.
And so I feel like that's kind of how we kind of connected during that time. And what was so kind of interesting for me is I felt like I noticed a real difference because I've gone to different, you know, doctors over the years, but there was a definite, I feel like, difference in my experience at Huebner Family Practice because everything is so personal with you guys. I mean, sure. I feel like everybody kind of knows everybody on a first name basis and they know about each other and you're so kind and nurturing and I feel like welcoming and just you make people even in very scary situations feel more calm and just kind of collected about it. And in a time when I think a lot of people would just, you know, you want to freak out because
right.
it's just such a scary
thing.
It's very scary. But that's what I feel like I really grew to appreciate, how cool it is the way you guys practice medicine
right.
because it's just a different way. And I'm so used to the kind of, I don't know if you want to call it a cattle herd.
Right. Where you're in, out, you never know who you're talking to. The staff kind of is very impersonal, you know, and it's just herding them in and herding them out. That's not how we are.
Yeah.
I look at every single one of our patients that they're my family members. We really are a family and we're really in it together.
Yeah. No. And you feel it as I feel like as a patient, you definitely feel that. And so is that something like when you first started there, was that just kind of the personality or is that something you feel like you just kind of grew along with time or, you know,
I feel like that was always in my personality.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a doctor. I've always been exposed to medicine. I worked for my grandfather for 13
right,
years. So we always, you know, our patients were our family. And I mean, when they're our family, if my grandfather was in the hospital, the patients would come give him gifts and we hung out. So they're family.
Yeah.
So that's how it's always been. That's how I was raised.
That's right. Right. I think I even remember you saying, didn't Dr. Frank know your grandfather?
He did. And he did part of his residency with,
wow.
you know, with him, his rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so interesting.
Small world. I didn't know that before I went to work for Dr. Frank. My grandfather was like, you know, you need to interview with Dr. Frank. And I'm like, I don't want to interview with this Dr. Frank. I don't know who he is. I'm going back to school. And he kept pestering me so much. I'm like, fine, I'll interview with this Dr. Frank, you know?
The famous Dr. Frank.
I'm like, my gosh. And I was like, yeah, he looks interesting.
Yes.
So, we had several interviews. I interviewed several times with Dr. Frank. And I was like, you know, the ball's in my court. I can, you know, ask for whatever I want. And if he says no, I'm going to school. It doesn't really matter. But I decided that we would be a great team and that we would get along. And what if I didn't take the opportunity and I work for somebody that I didn't like?
Yes.
You know, and didn't practice medicine the same way that I was brought up.
Yes. I feel like you guys are just so great when you work together. I mean, you can definitely tell that you've been working together for a long time because there's definitely that just vibe that you can anticipate. Like he already knows what you're going to need from him and he knows what he's going to need from you. And you as a patient, I feel like, and my husband and I have talked about this many times, I just feel like it's such a pleasure to go to a medical practice that's like that because it's like no other that I've ever been to. So it's just, I wish more of the medical, you know, industry, if you want to call it an industry, but I wish more of, you know, more of the practices out there would be more personable and just more nurturing and caring. I just feel like so many times.
We're kind of losing that touch, you know?
I know.
But then the general world is kind of losing the touch.
You know what? So. You're right. No, you're 100% right. Everybody's on our phones. I mean,
technology. Yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And so do you feel like technology has helped the practice in the sense that like transferring records and like, you know, CT scans or anything like that. Do you feel like the accessibility to testing and blood tests and stuff like that, is that improved?
Definitely improved.
Okay.
And, you know, that's been really great. But as far as other things, we're, you know, getting bogged down with a lot of paperwork and things like that. It takes some time away from the patients. So, you know.
Right.
It is more stressful. It is more difficult.
Right. Do you feel like, and this is something I'm really curious about because we've never talked about it, but now with the internet, obviously everybody's got access to the internet and Google and
Dr. Google and everything and else.
That, you know where I'm going
Dr.
with this.
Dr. Google.
And I haven't
says
ever.
Says I have cancer. It's always, you know, I got cancer. And I'm like, you don't have it.
So do a lot of patients, because again, you and I have never had this conversation, but do a lot of patients say, I saw that I've got this and this. Yes. I know I've got this horrible disease, yes, or I've got this horrible, you know, whatever it is.
So we have to talk them down from the ledge. And we have to say, if you really feel like this, we can do blood tests. There's,
yes,
cancer screening tests that are out, yes, on the market. There's all kinds of testing. If you'd like to pay for it, you know, we can certainly, you know, ease your mind on that.
Yes.
Do I think you have what you're saying? No, absolutely not. It could be a simple rash that they then turned into a cancerous,
exactly,
rash.
Exactly. You got bit by a mosquito, well, like, and you, no, had an allergic reaction to it. It's that simple. Or you're like Kelly Pearson and you got bit by a bee and, you know,
yeah,
and you had an allergic reaction to it. But I mean, it doesn't always have to be this crisis. But no. I wondered if the internet component or the chat GPT or whatever it is out there that people are starting to try and diagnose themselves.
They are, and it definitely makes them more fearful.
Yeah.
And I would say trust your gut. If you feel like something's off, well, come in. Come in and see us.
And
you
know what?
You have to trust your doctor, too.
Yes.
And if you don't trust your doctor, then maybe he or she is not the right doctor for you.
Yeah. No,
you know,
that's a great point.
We can only do self-diagnosis for so long. We don't have a medical degree, so we got to leave that up in the hands of the doctors.
Yes, absolutely. No, for sure. And I feel like that. That's why you guys make such a great team, is that you kind of are the, what's the word I'm looking for, the at the hospital where they triage. It's
right.
Like you're kind of triaging the patients, you know, as they come in and you're looking for, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, I get the firsthand account before Dr. Frank gets it. And so I have the whole record. And then he's like, you know, what do you think about this? And I'll give him a brief rundown before he even goes in the room.
Sure. So
and
he's kind of got a vibe.
If I want him to order something, I'll leave out a radiology slip or something, kind of give him a hint. But that doesn't mean he's going to do it. But it's just he knows where my thoughts are going.
No, that's awesome. And that just goes to show you the great thing that happens when you have, you know, again, teamwork going on. And again, you guys are looking out. It's kind of like how we in real estate, I feel like when we're honoring our fiduciary to our clients, we're trying to keep our clients' interests above all others, including our own.
Right.
And I feel like that's what you guys do for your patients. I feel like and I know that I'm planning to have Dr. Frank on the podcast.
Yeah, that would be great.
He's got that ozone clinic,
yes,
over there. And of course, that was,
O3
like I
plus,
said,
yeah.
O3 Plus is amazing. And Dave has, like I said, just he's benefited so much from the treatments that he's had.
Everyone has. I mean, my daughter had shingles and she's only 28 years old. She had shingles that popped up on her face. And as soon as I saw it, you know, starting to pop up, I'm like, you got to get into Dr. Frank immediately. You need,
yeah,
treatment immediately. And she did a whole week's worth of ozone treatments for a whole entire week. It was a whole regimen, blood ozone, you know, the facial ointment ozone, and it cleared it. She has no scars, no,
seriously,
pain, nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that. You never told me,
yes,
that. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's,
no,
very
I
good
didn't
to
share
know
that with you. So, but yes, I mean, there is, for all kinds of stuff, the ozone,
okay,
is a good fix.
No, I can't wait to hear more about that, because like I said, I've seen firsthand, and I know my daughter goes there as well and just,
right,
absolutely loves it. So I've been there myself. So I just feel like there's so many new wave technologies and things that are available in medicine that a lot of people out there just don't know about.
Right.
So,
right.
Well, going back to how when we first were kind of trauma bonding and we started kind of like going from dealing with our illnesses, and we kind of got to know each other more and kind of started talking about, well, what do you like to do in the off time and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And it kind of came about that I was talking one time, I said, hey, you know, we're getting ready to go to Vegas. And you're like, oh, I love Vegas. And I'm like, oh, another friend, another victim. So I was like, hey, you want to come to Vegas with us?
I'm
and
like, absolutely.
You didn't even hesitate. It was so great. It was like, I can't remember. When was the first year that we went to Vegas together? I can't remember. What was it? 20? It was out. I mean, it was certainly not 2020, but
2022?
It was when things started opening up a little bit. Was it either 21 or 22?
No, 21, I broke my arm on the ice storm thing.
Oh,
that
that's
snow
right
thing.
That's right. I forgot about
so
that.
So that was a whole other thing. We coming off of, you know, still bouncing, trying to bounce back somewhat from COVID. COVID's still out there.
That.
And then we had snowvid.
I do remember that. Oh, boy, do I remember. I call it Stormageddon, but snowvid,
I mean,
whatever you want
to
call it.
We're
it
still
was,
dealing with COVID, and then we got this freaky snowstorm here in Texas.
It was crazy. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it would have been, so if that was
2022.
Okay. So we went in 2022. And again, you were just, like I said, I feel like we just clicked. I mean, it was like we had known each other for a few years, but it's like a lot of that happened during COVID when we really, right. you know, got
really
to know
bonded.
Each other. Yeah. We really bonded.
Well, and we have a lot of same things that have happened to us.
We do. Yeah. We do. We
Our paths have kind of crossed in similar ways.
No, exactly. I feel like we're kind of old souls mm-hmm. in that regard. And I feel like we have a lot of things that we have in common. And so that's been really fun to kind of tap into that and get to know each other better and stuff. But I remember when we were in Vegas, we were talking about all, you know, all the fun things that we did. And I can't remember all, we went to dinner and, you know, all the just like, I'm such a foodie and you're a foodie too. So definitely.
Dinner was definitely interesting.
It always is. It always is. Whenever we get together and usually there's cocktails involved, yeah, you know, so.
Lots of fun things.
It is a fun thing. So we started talking about that. And then through that, you ended up meeting my granddaughters, and specifically, we had been talking about kind of the kind of music that we like to listen to. And of course, most of my life, I really didn't like country western.
Yeah, in fact, me neither.
We talked about that. Neither one of us had previously really been into country western yeah. music. And of course, Dave always says it's country and western. You know, so I just feel like at the same time, we kind of started going into that country, you know, music direction. And,
And I have been inviting you to go dancing at
yes,
Cowboys.
That's right.
So I was like, I want to learn how to country dance. You want to come?
And I did.
You did.
And so then we went and we started learning how to country dance. And so that was a hoot. That was just a challenge in and of itself. And so literally while that was going on in the background, I had a teenage granddaughter right. who was basically becoming obsessed. I had started kind of listening. You and I both like Kelsey Ballerini. And,
right.
you know, there's
right.
several artists that we both like. But Vivian, my older granddaughter, both Vivian and Gabby love Morgan Wallen. But at the time, Vivian was like obsessed
right.
with Morgan Wallen. In fact, I was just.
I think we are all obsessed with Morgan Wallen.
True.
Let's face it.
No, it's so funny because in the beginning, I didn't even know who Morgan Wallen was in the beginning, right? And so funny on, I forget if it's Instagram or if it's TikTok. It's one of those. You would know better because you're a TikToker. But it was one of those little clips of they show Morgan Wallen walking on the stage
right.
and they have a woman talking over him as he walks and sings on the stage. And she says something like, he could run over me with his effing truck or effing car. He could back up over me. And I would still say, oh, here, come here, baby. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. hysterical. And I would hear this and I would think, what are they even freaking talking about? Because, yeah, he's a singer, but I mean, I'm like, whatever. And then as you and I kind of like delved a little deeper into the whole country western world, specifically Morgan Wallen, I started going, okay, I get it. These women are absolutely rabid. I mean, the fans,
obsessed.
Even men, I mean, just
yes.
men and women are obsessed. It's
yeah.
like he has a stronghold on, you know, the whole country western community,
and he's
I
cute.
Think.
And he smiles.
That's true. I mean, he does have that little impish grin, you know, and I just remember, like I said, once Vivian had brought up, hey, I really want to go see Morgan Wallen. Of course, I was like, oh, gosh, you know, let's get tickets, you know. And I can even remember her saying, well, her younger sister, Gabby, wanted to go, too. And Vivian's like, you don't even know who Morgan Wallen is. And she goes, I do, too. She goes, okay. I was over at their house, and she said, Vivian tells Gabby, name five songs that Morgan Wallen sings. And I'll be darned if Gabby didn't sit there and name off. She's like, this one, and this one, and this one, and I was just like, I was blown away. I was like, oh my gosh, I think she's doing a better job than I would do.
Yeah.
And so Vivian was standing there going, okay, you got me there, because she named off all five. She's like, okay, well, I guess Gabby can go too. So anyway, so we all set out. We were going to go to a Morgan Wallen concert. And so we ended up going to a couple of concerts. And then she became obsessed with getting his autograph.
Right.
So this is where you come in.
Because
we saw that he was going to be playing in Vegas.
Right.
And we were going to Vegas. We were going to Vegas. And we'd already been to Vegas together. So
right.
at this point, you know, we were kind of seasoned
yeah,
pros,
right.
you know, going to Vegas together. And so I'm like, hey, would you come with me to this Morgan Wallen concert? And I said, let's get pit tickets, which I'd never in my life, I'd never been in the pit before.
I haven't either.
So I didn't even know what that meant, but I understood enough to know that if you want to get an autograph from an artist,
right,
specifically Morgan Wallen, if you want to get that autograph, you're going to have to be in the pit.
Right.
I didn't really understand what that meant, but I just knew you had to get pit tickets. So anyway, so
I didn't understand what that meant either. Hey, it sounds like fun. I'm going to be around a lot of people. So, hey, I'm down for that.
Except I was taking you as my partner in crime and my nurse, because basically.
And your bouncer.
And my, yes, absolutely.
We didn't know if we needed a bouncer type.
Well,
but
we didn't know. We didn't know on the first trip that we needed a bouncer, but you ended up being an amazing bouncer, although I think you took quite a hit. I think you ended up with somebody stabbed you in the leg in the pit. But anyway, our first experience with the pit, we had our trusty Katie did an amazing poster for us. And I can't
remember. Amazing. It was super amazing.
It was amazing. It was just, it was a picture of me with my granddaughters. And I think I said something like, give a granny a break, or can you give a granny an autograph?
Something like that.
Something to that effect. I mean, we still have it, you know, but.
And forever, we'll use that same poster.
We definitely will. And so anyway, so you were with me. We were in the pit. We were holding up the sign. And as he walks by us, of course, we see that he's actually, and of course, maybe we were thinking in our heads, but we were like, oh my God, he just looked at us.
Right.
He made eye contact.
No, he did.
And so then as he walks back the other way, he looks at us again. We're like, oh my God, we've now made eye contact twice. So we're like, oh my gosh. And we're holding up the sign. So he's looking at the sign. You can tell he's kind of reading it and stuff. So after that concert in Vegas was over, and again, how many hours were we?
I think it was 12 hours standing.
I think we literally
12 hours standing
without ever sitting.
And that means also that if you need to go to the bathroom, you better make friends around you, because if not, the spot starts filling in. So we made friends. We were told ahead of time, make friends, we'll buy drinks, we'll do all that.
Well,
and that
she's
worked
a popular
out really
lady.
Well.
Oh, it did. You're a popular lady. No, thank God. I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, Amanda doesn't know a stranger. And so literally everybody's just like, Amanda, whoa. You know?
And I never left to go to the bathroom.
No,
I held for 12 hours.
This woman is like Iron Woman. I mean, I don't even know. Not only did she stand without even blinking, it's like she could have done that backwards, you know, with her eyes closed. She stood without even complaining, without even saying a word. She's having cocktails. She's having fun. Everybody in the crowd is like, whatever Amanda wants, Amanda gets. Thank God, because that allowed old lady me to go to the restroom multiple times.
For sure.
And I needed to. Otherwise, it was going to be a scene in the pit. It was going to take on a whole nother situation in the pit. Mm-hmm. But definitely, at the end of the concert, we thought we were, you know, and they helped us, the crowd that you had kind of gathered, they helped us to get up, but we couldn't quite get to the very, very front of the pit because this is our first time.
Right.
So we really didn't know what that was like. Right. And so we realized, okay, we can't get close enough. And so even though he walked by and he was signing autographs, we were not within reach of getting the sign to him. We were just too far back. And so after that, I think we were bonded even more.
Right.
We're like, okay, we're now obsessed.
We're committed.
We're committed. Mm-hmm. We're obsessed. And we're like, we're getting his autograph. So, and of course, we had been in Vegas that time, just you and I.
And I said, okay, well, maybe next time, you know, and I didn't know when the next time would
be. Exactly. We just said, we're going to get
it.
We didn't know what that meant, but we're going to get
We're going to get it eventually.
And so what we did was we ended up going to the Tampa concert that same year, later that year.
I remember you called me and you're like, hey, Amanda, you ready? We're going. I said, wait, where are we going? We're going to Tampa. We're going to go in the pit again for Morgan Wallen. And I was like, okay, well, the pit was really cool in Vegas, so I'm down for the pit. No worries. No problem.
I was a little worried, but
I was
because I barely made it through that Vegas one. And I felt like you had helped me. I mean, like I said, you were checking on me to make sure you okay. Cause a couple of times I thought I was going down a couple of times because it's pretty brutal. I mean, physically at my age,
it is a lot.
And so I'm like, I'm only going if Amanda can go. So Amanda's going and now Vivian can go.
Right.
So,
and I'm thinking the pit's cool. We had fine. Yeah. It was a fine time in Vegas. We can take Vivian, who's like, what, 15, 16?
Yeah. She was not
teenager.
Driving, so she was 15.
Okay.
Yeah, was 15.
She'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah, because we thought we'd survive
it was so
Vegas.
Easy, really. It wasn't that hard.
It wasn't that hard. Well, it was physically an indoor venue for me. But she's 15,
yeah,
so she can
deal
with it, you know. So I figured you and her, it's going to work out, right?
It'll work.
So we get down to Tampa thinking it's going to be like Vegas again, and it was completely the opposite. I mean, it couldn't have been more different,
oh,
right?
Very different.
I mean, it was like being in a room full of thugs. I mean, literally.
I felt like we were in a wasp nest with some angry wasps. I mean,
and they were stinging. And they were stinging. And I mean, literally.
And it started from get go.
It did. And I mean, literally, we had to physically body block. And we were in the very, very front up against the fence.
The rail, yeah.
And then the crowd was pushing us from behind and literally pushing me over the fence. So right. That was, I'll never forget that. I mean, like literally, I don't know that I ever have it in me again to ever do a pit experience and then at one point, the one lady that kept trying to knock us out of the way, she kept trying to get in front of us. Did she stab you with her keys or something
like
that?
Well, there was one lady that tried to push me off the rail and I was holding strong. I'm like, look, I can hold all day for the rail. You're not going to knock me off. And then, you know, I backed off and I said, Kim, you know, you go with Vivian to the rail. I'm going to back off. And then there was another girl that was just blowing smoke in your face and doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, don't do that to my friend. If you want to take out some problems, let's go. We're in the pit. Let's go for it. Leave her alone. Let's go.
Well,
and
luckily,
you know, she started dancing on me, like,
oh, I remember.
You know, hitting me. Like, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just dancing. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to dance too. Boom. And she said, I don't like that. I said, well, I don't like what you're doing to me either.
It got crazy.
Like, and she took her nails and I didn't really know I was bleeding until we were waiting for the Uber. And I was like, wait, I have blood running down my leg.
Until we saw the blood and we're like, oh my God, I guess she really did take a hit on that.
Yeah, it was her whole fingers.
But I will tell you, at the very end, we were up against the railing and we were holding up the same poster that we had been holding up in Vegas.
You know, other drinks spilled on it from past and everything else.
It was a little worse for the wear, but it was still there.
It was there.
And I swear to you, he recognized it.
Yep.
He walked by us and he acknowledged us again. Uh-huh. He did his little, you know, and we're like, oh my God, oh my God. And literally as he's walking back and the concert's over, he's signing some stuff for some people at the very end of the ego ramp or whatever it's called. And literally as he's making his way back, he starts to make eye contact with me and literally the tears, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, oh my God. And Vivian is losing it. She's like, oh my God, oh my God. Cause she can see him approaching and looking at us. And literally when he leans down and grabs that poster, I almost thought I was going down for the count.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And he signed it. We have a video of him signing it. And it was
a very special moment.
It was a very,
and I was happy that I was there to have him sign it for y'all.
No,
it was very special.
Anyway, just amazing. You're just, like I said, amazing human. And one of the other things I wanted to kind of divert to you before we get into my favorite segment of the podcast, the Feral or Fabulous, is you're a TikToker.
I am.
So I want to talk a little bit about that because I'm so old and dumb when it comes to TikTok, but tell me a little bit about TikTok.
I mean, it's social media. I just chose a name that I thought would be catchy.
Snarky Love.
So Snarky Love is my name.
I love it.
I didn't want to use my real name. Who uses their real name? So I was like, just real quick, you know.
You do on this podcast. Now everybody knows who you are.
Yeah. So now I'm Snarky Love.
Now you're in trouble.
I just decided to start making videos of my dog. So I do dog content.
I love it.
And from dog content, you know, it went to being part of the Creator Fund. And I am part of the shop. And so I get merchandise sent to me and I advertise.
I know. I
for
love
the TikTok shop.
And I've gotten some of the products that you've been selling. And I love the
patches.
The patches.
Yeah.
I love those patches. In fact, I use them all the time. Yeah, y'all have seen me at the office with the sun patches on.
Oh my gosh, they're so good.
I've got them on my back, my feet, my knees, everything.
And I'm allergic to a lot of adhesives. And so before I promote something, I got to make sure that I actually like this product. I've done some bad reviews too on products. But this one was really good and I wasn't allergic and it works really well.
But see, that's one of the things I love about you is that you do a review of what you really think.
For sure.
It's not like contrived. It's like if you like something, then you like something, you're going to talk about it. And if you don't like something, you're going to let somebody know.
Right. And so I've gotten some skincare products and they've been great. And then I had like, you know, the face wash missing from one of them. I'm like, oh, this is great, but I'm missing my face wash. But yeah, so I give honest reviews.
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel like you're keeping it real.
Keeping it real. And, you know, through TikTok, you start meeting other people.
I know.
And, you know, it is a community.
Yeah.
So it is a good community.
No, I agree. I enjoy getting on TikTok and TikToking, but I don't really know how to post that much. I mean, I've been struggling a little bit to try and get some of the podcasts out there. But
it's not even really any thought process to it. You just, you know, they say shoot it out. But and I go live. I used to go live a lot, you know, more, but you know, I'm busy at work and everything, but I love going live and I have the dogs. I have Raven, my dog. And so you just meet
people.
And Nala,
right?
And Nala.
Yeah. No, I love
your
TikToks.
You just start meeting people and becoming a community.
Yeah. No, love it.
So it's lots of fun. You get to talk to all kinds of people.
Yeah.
You know, from around the world.
Yeah.
Really.
No. If you guys are on TikTok, check her out. Snarky Love.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. Okay. So we are now to, again, this is my favorite segment of the podcast. I'm going to give you several different words, and you're going to tell me. Oh, you're going to take the paddle.
Okay.
Let me know if you need another shot.
Feral, fabulous.
Yes, feral or fabulous. So I'm going to give you a word.
I just want to leave it on feral. No, just kidding.
Well, and here's the thing. Dave and I were kind of talking about this. I'm not sure. Some of these, I think I have an idea of what you might say, and some of these, I actually don't have an idea of what you're going to say. So I'm going to be really curious. Top Gun.
Top Gun. I mean, are we talking about
Top Gun the movie? Top Gun,
right? The original one, not the new one.
Both. Both conceptually.
I mean,
because you know, I hear they're filming a Top Gun 3.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Top Gun 1 was fabulous.
Okay.
And I feel like Top Gun 2 was kind of feral.
Okay.
In some ways.
Okay. What did you not like about the second one?
It seemed a little
cheesy.
Yeah, it seemed a little cheesy. And, you know, Tom Cruise kind of, you know, got on the bad side of me. My daughter was in the Navy, and he filmed on, you know, one of the aircraft carriers. And wasn't my daughter's aircraft carrier she was on, but filmed on one of them. And I heard he was not the nicest person to our Navy people.
Interesting.
He made everyone clear the way. Oh. He was very stuck up. He actually fell overboard and had to be rescued by our Navy. So, and he was kind of a diva.
Okay.
So that kind of, you know, be nice to our, you know, military.
No, amen to that.
Yeah.
I'm with you 100% on that. Although I will tell you, I am as these guys can attest to, I am a diehard Top Gun freak. I have seen Top Gun Maverick.
The second one.
12 times in the theater.
Wow.
In the theater.
That's crazy.
Not how many times I've seen it. That's just how many times I saw it. In the theater. And I think, Matt, you were with us several times on, I don't remember how many, four times. So Matt saw it four times with me in the theater.
I mean, nothing beats the original to me. And I mean, I have a grandson named Maverick. So,
I know. Oh my gosh, that's right. I forgot about that.
You know,
that's awesome.
Top Gun is there.
Amen. And I love the first. Of course, I'm obsessed with
the first
one.
Yeah, the first one's amazing.
And I can't wait for Top Gun 3. So anyway.
Interesting.
Hopefully he's going to behave better. On the third filming.
Yeah.
Okay. Rare steak.
Barrel.
Me too.
Barrel.
I don't want anything
bleeding
on my
man.
Exactly. I'm just like, I have a friend that's like, I just want a vet to be able to bring it back to life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's just disgusting. I mean, I just.
Yeah, when it's got like pulses, you know, heart beating
and
stuff,
you.
Like,
no,
I
don't want to see any blood on my plate. I just, no, thank you. No, mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
Right.
So I'm with you, girlfriend.
Okay.
No, I'm, scary movies.
I like scary movies.
Okay.
Fabulous.
Okay. I'm with you.
Even though they freak the hell out of me and I get scared and I can't sleep at night because I'm thinking about the damn movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really like it.
Yes. No. I'm the same. It's like, because I know it's a movie, I know it's not real, but then sometimes it creeps into my head that, oh my gosh, what if this really happened in real life? And then I get
I'm
a little
like driving
freaked out.
Down, you know, a dark deserted road in the woods. I'm like, ooh, this is scary.
No, I'm with you. I it's like, I love them.
Fabulous
but
and,
I'm,
you know,
yes,
scary fabulous.
Scary fabulous. Yeah. I love that. That's a new term. A scary fabulous. We'll have to coin that phrase. Scary fabulous. Okay. Hiking.
It could go either way. It could be fabulous and it could be feral, depending. You're hot, you're sweaty, the elements. I've hiked when it's, you know, been a rain and it's muddy and we're sliding on rocks.
Yeah.
It's fabulous because I love being outdoors.
Yes.
I love the energy.
Yes.
I love nature.
Yes.
So it could be both.
No, that's That's a great point.
When my son goes hiking, it's feral. He jumps off rocks and cliffs and everything. I'm like, dude, slow down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm a fabulous and feral on the hiking too, but probably more feral just because it's so unpredictable. Right. I do like the body movement and all that. I like the exercise. I don't love the outdoors,
right,
but I can deal with the outdoors.
Right.
I'm more of a inside in a controlled environment mm-hmm. kind of gal. But I do feel like it's good exercise, and I do feel good about it after I've been on a
right.
hike.
You're like, I accomplished that.
As long as I didn't turn an ankle or right. bust a knee or something like that. So I get what you're saying on both. Okay. I have no idea what you're going to say on this.
Uh-oh.
Thanksgiving dishes.
Dishes.
Meaning the food. You know, a traditional Thanksgiving.
Like the green bean casserole potatoes.
Yes. A turkey.
I think that's fabulous.
Okay, cool. Me too.
I love Thanksgiving.
Okay, me
I
too.
Love everything about it. And me I'm going to have my fat pants on and I'm going to eat the hell out of Thanksgiving.
Me too. I love it.
You know what? And I love canned cranberry. I'm sorry, guys, but it's canned cranberry for me.
Yes.
It's fabulous.
Love it. Me too. Oh my God. I grew up on canned cranberry.
I mean, I've had the real and it's just, I need the jelly.
Yeah, me too. I think it's just nostalgia.
I need to hear it pop out of the can and everything else.
Exactly. No, I love it. No, I think We're totally simpatico on that.
Yes, definitely.
I'm a traditionalist on that mm-hmm. as well. Okay, your last one, birds.
Birds.
What do you think?
Birds are feral. They are friggin' feral.
Yes.
They're like baby dinosaurs.
Yes. I feel
the same.
They're
beautiful to watch some birds, but those grackles are feral and they are ruthless.
And they can be mean.
They are mean.
Like, especially like hawks and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
they hop around on their legs like little dinosaurs.
Yeah. You're probably too young to remember this movie, but I think it was Tippi Hedren that was in a movie called The Birds.
Yeah, I've heard.
And this
I don't think I saw it,
back in the 60s. I don't know. Somebody have to Google it and figure it out. But I can tell you that. That movie, I watched it when I was very young when I watched it, but it stuck with me. And to this day, I still get scared when that movie comes on.
Because were the birds attacking?
Yes. Oh,
the
no.
The person they, or
oh,
people
she went
or
up,
something?
Yes. No, they were attacking her. It was just, and they would follow, they would congregate and they would follow people and they would just like attack them. It was literally
Did
terrifying.
They kill the people? I mean.
Well, potentially, yes.
Oh,
they
that's
were,
scary.
They were pecking them to death.
Gosh.
It was awful. And it just, and so ever since. And of course, I've got some friends that they have hawks at their house.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, whenever he walks out of the house, the husband, for whatever reason, he's redheaded.
Oh.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I don't know.
But literally, the hawk will swoop down and like peck at his head, and like he'll be bleeding.
Yeah.
And they can't get him to go away.
Yeah. We had a patient that came in actually with a hawk that attacked his head, and he was had no hair. And we had to, patch up his head.
Oh, my gosh.
We told him.
What was that like? Do you have to do, rabies shots or anything like that?
I mean, no, but, it was deep wounds. I mean, he got attacked with talons and everything. I mean, their claws are big. And, we told him, you're going to have to wear a hat of some sort. So he wears a bike riding helmet now when he goes outside. Because, see, they have a nest, and they're protective over their nest.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Maybe there's
babies.
Some youngins or babies involved that they're trying to be, kind of protective of. So,
right.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So, now you and I are the same on birds.
Yeah, they're kind of crazy.
Not a fan.
I love
not
watching them, but they're crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being
a
guest. You've been awesome, just like I knew you were going to be.
It was amazing. And I was so nervous, but it was fine.
Oh, you did great. And so nothing that a little tequila doesn't help.
There you go. Know?
So anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for watching another episode of Feral and Fabulous. And let's keep on keeping on. See you next time.